This is Wendy Halley, and you're listening to Lucid Cafe. Excited to share today's episode with you, especially since it took like four tries to make it work. We had a lot of technical issues, but with perseverance, we made it happen. And I'm really psyched because it's important information. Today's episode is all about the visionary route known as Iboga. This might sound strange, but even though I've never tried psychedelics, I'm actually really intrigued by the growing body of research that's showing how beneficial they can be when used therapeutically. But before I introduce you to today's guest, I want to share some exciting news. 4 or 5 years ago, I had this idea, because if you know me, you know that I'm a veritable idea machine. Most of my ideas are off the hook ridiculous, but anyway, the idea was to find a way to create healing environments in virtual reality. I've been working behind the scenes over the last several years with the help of my very talented friend, PJ, and my business advisor slash alchemist, Steven, to try to get this project off the ground. And I'm happy to report that we've been able to catch a little traction thanks to Champlain College's Emergent Media Center in Burlington, Vermont. The center has hired a crackerjack two-person student team to create a taste of one of the healing environments for me and Steven to take out to potential customers and investors. So the first phase of my VR project is focusing on stress management in the workplace. But with phase two, I'm going to be recreating the psychedelic treatment experience in VR using interactive shamanic storylines and sound technology to treat things like addiction and post-traumatic stress. Super excited. I'll keep you posted on this project's progress in future episodes. Okay, let's do this. My guest, Levi Barker, is an Iboga provider at the Iboga Wellness Center in Costa Rica. Iboga is a plant that comes from West Central Africa and has been used since ancient times in initiatory rites. The original people in Africa that use Iboga in a traditional setting are called the Bwiti. Levi is a member of the Misoko Bwiti. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Sorry, Levi, if I'm not. The Misoko Bwiti focus on using Iboga as a tool for healing and to study life itself. In the interview, Levi talks about his own experience with Iboga, the Iboga process, and how it's a powerful tool to resolve issues that may be holding us back in life. Iboga has been known as an addiction interrupter for opiates, and is now becoming more well known as a powerful tool for dealing with trauma, depression, anxiety, OCD, and for non-drug addictions such as eating disorders and sex and porn addictions. Because of its effectiveness, Iboga is finding its way into Western culture. So let's dive in. Please enjoy my conversation with Levi Barker. Levi, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Really glad you're here. I'm curious about Iboga. I had heard about it. I had read about it a little bit, but I don't feel like I know anything about it. And I don't know if many people in this country know much about it because it originates from Africa. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, like what you're doing now?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in Central America. I grew up in Central California till my early 20s. I moved to San Diego for a bit, and then I met my now wife in Nicaragua. So that was close to 11 years ago, and so I've been in Central America for the past 11 years, and was an entrepreneur and able to work from home out in the sticks in Nicaragua. I put up an internet tower with some rudimentary equipment to get a signal out there. When I first came down to Nicaragua, I had an opiate problem. And so this was a long process that I've been working through for probably 10 years. And there was some really low lows and some really, really parts where I was able to make it work and function even, you know, while using opiates. And at one point I asked a really dear friend if there was anything that could help with that, because I was really time to leave it behind, you know, and I just couldn't find that strength inside. And he told me about Iboga. And I remember the first time I heard that word Iboga, that I knew there was something there for me. And so, you know, one thing I'll say about Iboga is a lot of people hear about Iboga or Ibogaine due to opiate addicts using it physically, but this medicine really is here for anybody that's called to it with whatever they're going through in life.
So it's not just about treating addiction.
Correct. Yeah, not at all. It's for whatever we're dealing with. And you know, what we see here is it's just very, very consistent in the results that it gives. You know, really the key for people working with this medicine. Well, I guess to build off that point, yeah. So I now with the founder of Iboga Wellness Center, Gary Cook, and myself run Iboga Wellness here in the Pacific Northwest of Costa Rica. And so we're at a beautiful ranch with, you know, cows and horses and monkeys live on the property, with a beautiful river that flows behind the property. So two or three times per month, people come here to work on themselves, to get answers, to figure out their next direction in life, just for all sorts of different reasons that a lot of us Westerners deal with. So I've been dedicated myself to Iboga about 4 years ago, and I've been full-time in Iboga before that. And Gary, the founder of Iboga Wellness, and myself met at a place called Iboga House. And so Iboga House was another Iboga retreat center here in Costa Rica that was run by our teacher named Moginda Mikala. And so he's a 10th generation Bwiti shaman from Gabon. So here at Iboga Wellness, we follow a tradition called the Bwiti. And so the Bwiti is essentially somebody that uses Iboga to learn about life, to learn how to live life, how to approach life. So there's a whole tradition that flows from there about how just an approach of life, which, you know, in a lot of these lessons you'll find in different traditions or even religions, you know, they're just universal truths that are the truth. And so we would have read about a lot of them, but the way the Bwiti have put it together to really encompass just about every aspect of our life is just very, very valuable. And so whenever a person has Iboga, Iboga typically teaches people the same things that we share with them about the tradition. Iboga is very, whenever you do get answers from it, it's very direct and applicable to your life. And it speaks in simple terms, so there's not a lot of confusion about what that message is. And so people come here to get answers on their life. Could be anything, whether a job or a spouse, or should they move, or how do they move past depression or anxiety or PSD. Definitely get a lot of veterans that come to work with this medicine. So yeah, I just love the work. Just very humbled to be in this position, to be able to go through this most special experience with people. And they're just really opening themselves up and looking forward to moving life. So yeah, just very, very appreciative of being able to work with this beautiful medicine that just heals people so consistently. And so yeah, that's the short version on myself.
Thank you. So when you say when the plant teaches you, how do you perceive that teaching when you're under the influence of Iboga?
Yeah, that's a good one to clarify, because the way we see it really is the plant is really just clearing things out of the way, you know, things that we gather throughout our life and kind of put a filter on truly connecting with ourselves. So different experiences, the way we think about things, how we perceive ourselves, all those things can kind of get piled on top of really connecting with our own, you know, in the Bwiti we say our spirit, may call it your higher self. But
so the bullshit goes away?
Yes, absolutely. It really does clear out a lot of the bullshit to really get to the core of the answers. And those answers are coming from us. We have all the answers already inside. It's just a matter of us accessing them. And so, you know, the bullshit piles on top there.
It sure does.
And it can make it difficult, you know, and that's where we get confused about certain things, you know, whereas medicine just really helps us connect internally on a very deep level to that infinite wisdom and truth that's already inside of us.
I love it. Are you saying that insights just kind of emerge out of the experience?
Absolutely. So yeah, at some point, you know, the medicine works in stages. So the first time somebody has the medicine, is definitely going to go through and clean them physically. And depending on what people eat, how they live, how they treat themselves, once it does that, then it's going in and it's going to go to work mentally. Yeah, if you actually, I was just thinking about this the other day, but if you look at Iboga seeds, they actually look like little brains.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they do all the crevices. It's really, really is a mental tool. You know, that's what we have to deal a lot with as humans, is really managing our own mind. So it's going to give us the truth and intuitions on things. And those can come in different ways. Sometimes during a Iboga experience, we have people come in and have them prepare questions that they want answered about their life. So people will come with specific questions that they're looking to get answered. So whenever we do that, we do that through a guided journey process that was taught to us by our teacher and is an old Bleedy technique of going in and actually connecting directly with your soul for those answers. So those answers can come in the form of verbal or audio directions. They could be presented to you as, you know, a painting or some sort of illustration. And then also a lot of times, just as the Iboga experiences moves through and passes, you'll just get downloads of things that you know are the truth for you, almost like the Matrix when they connect in. All of a sudden these things just come to you, and when you sit with them, feel them and look at them, you just know that that's the truth for you now. So yeah, the medicine connects you with yourself to get the answers in different ways. One thing to keep in mind with that, there's also sometimes a purging of the subconscious. So things can come up for people where we've seen so many faces throughout our lives, or we pack so many things inside of our mind that we're carrying around that we really don't need to be carrying around anymore. So those things can come out as well. But after the Iboga settles down, things start to calm, and there's a long introspective period, those answers will come, and you'll definitely know them as the truth for you. And really, we call Iboga the greatest hunter for the truth.
How long is a typical session with Iboga?
So our sessions here, and it's developed in via the protocol that our teacher taught us, which is just enough Bleedy shamanism to do the proper things during ceremony, but then also set up for Westerners to be able to be comfortable and go deep within themselves. But those are 7 nights, 8 days. And so during that time, people do the medicine twice.
When you ingest the medicine, how long does it stay in your system?
So that's a good question. Iboga, as far as I know, you know, we don't get too much into the science. You know, we know the basics about how Iboga works. But as far as I know, Iboga stays in your system longer than anything known to man. So if it, you know, it metabolizes in the liver. Now, this doesn't mean you're going through this full-blown experience for months, but...
That's kind of what I was wondering, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, no. No, thankfully, that would be a long one. But, you know, it can be detected in the body even up to 6 months after you've taken your dose. And so the experience itself, like the heavy part of the experience, you know, we typically start ceremony at 7:30 at night, and we'll go until sunrise the next morning. And once sunrise comes around, we'll take people back to the room for some quiet time. And they'll definitely still feel that medicine to some degree until the following evening. You know, some stronger than others, but yeah, you definitely feel it. And then the big part of really being able to integrate the teachings and all the gifts that come from Iboga is that in the following days afterwards, you're not still going through any sort of psychedelic experience, but things are very clear. You have a quiet mind. Whenever there's something false that comes up, you're very aware of it and very conscious of it, where you catch it quickly. So that period of time after the Iboga is really important, it's where people integrate new habits and a new way of living. So that can definitely last for a good couple weeks at least after people leave here. And then it would lessen a bit, but still be guiding them for a month, the two months, depending on each individual person. So yeah, unlike other medicines, this Iboga really does keep on teaching even way after the experience.
Wow, that's fascinating. So there's a purging experience. So it sounds like it's first a physiological purging, and that seems to be universal for most everybody, depending on their level of toxicity.
Yep, yep.
And then there's a mental purging of sorts.
Yep.
And then what about it at the emotional level? Is there any kind of emotional processing that happens?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, once you get through the physical part, it is definitely going to go to work on the mind, you know, and the mind is such an important part of how we feel, you know, so what we're thinking and, you know, how we perceive things is going to definitely give us a feeling inside of our body. So, you know, when the mind is quiet, say on that day after the ceremony, it's really able to go in and just see the different emotions you have, or see things that are being held onto from a very clear perspective without any filter on top. And you can really see, you know, how your thoughts are affecting you. But yeah, you know, so many people, including myself, came to the medicine with just old stories, old beliefs about ourselves that we've just been carrying around for a long, long time.
That sounds like just the whole human race.
Yeah, that's right. it is, yeah.
So just being able to see those things, yeah, really powerful. And it sounds like it's presented, I mean, the way you're articulating, it sounds like it's a really well-defined process. It's not messy. It sounds clean.
Yeah, you know, with some people, you know, the reason we don't just do one ceremony, but we do two, and the time in between, it's all very well planned out. You know, some people, it can take another day or two for things to really settle in. Some people have their ceremony or like, I got it. So it's a little different from everybody, but the thing with this medicine is you're going to get what you need. If you come into the experience with an open mind, open heart, and really want to change some things or want to release some things, it's going to work. But it's probably not going to work in the form that you think it is. So that's one thing, you know, people prepare for this experience and, you know, hear about other people's experiences. And just know that each person is going to have their own unique experience with this medicine.
Right.
But once the medicine settles down in there, absolutely, like it's a very fresh point in your life, like after you get through that process. And yeah.
So it's good not to go into the experience having expectations.
Correct. Yep.
All right. So now I have to ask, how uncomfortable is the experience when the medicine hits your system?
Good question. So that's a bit different for everybody. Here, say for example, at Iboga Wellness, we don't work with people going through acute detox from any drugs, like say an Ibogaine clinic would.
Okay.
But we do have some people that have had, you know, a month time clean, or somebody that's really questions themselves a lot or really beats themselves up a lot. It can definitely be physically taxing, especially the first time the medicine goes through somebody. It has to do a lot of the heavy lifting and really get in and dig deep. So with that, some people can definitely get nauseous. Maybe 50% of people actually will vomit or purge that way. Sometimes you can feel a little bit dizzy, but if you come back into yourself, you can control that pretty well. So we're there during the night and reminding people of these things, and if they're getting stuck somewhere or something's uncomfortable for them, we have different tools to help them move past that. So you won't feel like moving much. Everybody each has their own mattress, and we encourage you just to lay there, and we'll be coming by and checking on people. But for some people, it can be difficult. For other people, it's not a real big deal. So it really depends on what we need physically. You know, if somebody has some physical things that they're looking to work on, then typically the medicine will have to dig in there a little bit deeper. But what we say to people is this medicine is not going to give you more than you can handle. That's for sure. It's gonna do what it needs to do, but everybody will be able to handle it, and everybody has.
All right. So what about from a psychological perspective? Can the experience be really unsettling for folks? Like you were talking about, things from your subconscious will come up. Will it be sort of all your fears, your shadowy stuff? Does that come up and invite you to experience those things so you can heal them?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it does. And in most cases, in about 80% of cases, what people are coming to work on is going to come up for them most of the time. So, you know, if somebody is depressed or they have a lot of anxiety, you know, typically that's going to be amplified for a period of time. And so we're really, really careful about really ingraining in people that, look, if you're coming here for some depression or whatever it is, just know that that can come up and that can be intensified for a period. So the things that we brought into ourselves had to be experienced and go through our conscious, as well as the things that we need to release. They're going to have to come back up and out and in front of our conscious. So yeah, people, look, the difference is whenever those things are happening, a lot of the times people are just seeing their depression or how they're creating that for themselves or why it's happening, see it almost from a third party perspective, like they're watching it and not being so emotionally involved in it, but getting the truth on it and really seeing it for what it is. But some people will feel that. They'll feel sad. But whenever we see that for people, we know that they're getting a very deep healing, and they just need a little bit of time. And so we remind them that that's the process, you know, that's how it has to happen. It's not what's inside that needs to leave isn't just going to leave without you being aware of it or conscious of it.
That's how healing works anyway. I think it wouldn't be healing if you didn't go through a process. You know what I mean?
Yep. And Bleedy, we say bossy. And so I'd say bossy to that one. Yeah, that means truth. And yeah. No, that's it. That's it. It has, yeah, it's not magic. There's still some work involved on our end.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's what makes a healing journey so powerful to me is going through an experience, and I'll speak from a very shamanic standpoint, is making friends with it, and it's a part of you. So your symptoms are there to get your attention and try to tell you something about yourself. So what do those symptoms have to teach you?
I get you. No, that's it. That is it.
From what you're describing of the actual experience of the medicine is that there is this sort of watcher experience. So you're the observer watching yourself go through this experience. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. That's pretty common. Yep. For people to just observe their life, looking in and just see the truth on things. And that really is prevalent, especially when looking at one's own mind. It makes you very conscious of your own thoughts and seeing them. We talk about our mind being a part of us, and it's a huge part of us, but it's not all of us. So with the medicine, you know, you can actually, you can be present and see the thoughts coming in before they actually reach you. And so when you see those thoughts coming in, you can have the experience of knowing that you're the one observing your mind rather than you being your mind.
That sounds like what meditators are striving for, right? That experience. of observing their minds from a distance. Yeah.
Absolutely.
As I mentioned to you before we started recording, I don't have a lot of psychedelic experience, but Iboga sounds different than other psychedelics that are used therapeutically, like ayahuasca. You can have a bad trip. Is that something that can happen with Iboga too, where you can get really caught in the experience, kind of lose yourself, that sort of dismemberment experience?
Very, very rarely that can happen. So out of seeing, probably being in ceremony with close to 500 people or so, I can think of three people that had a really rough time and did lose sight of, you know, where they're at and what they were doing. So typically with the medicine, you're very present, you know exactly what's going on, what's happening. There's no question about that.
Okay.
For these three people, for a day after or 2 days after their first experience, they were just in a space of almost nothingness and kind of wondering what happened. And so, you know, we just remind them that you just need the time, the medicine's really digging deep in you. But that's a very rare cases like that. Typically you're very aware of what's going on and what's happening around you, and there's no questions about that.
Ah, okay. It does sound very different from what I've heard of other psychedelic plant medicines.
Yeah, on that point real quick, yeah, it is very different in that way. The medicine is a very present medicine. And you know, there's been some examples given, if you think of Iboga, the medicine's coming from the roots, so it's going down into the ground. So the medicine really has to go, is about going deeper within ourselves, whereas something like ayahuasca is a vine growing up to the sky where other worlds and the cosmos. So yeah, it is very different, Iboga, in the way that you stay here on Earth and present, whereas other medicines can definitely take you outside of yourself.
I love that. That makes perfect sense. Because I was just going to ask you, what part of the plant is used with Iboga medicine? And you just answered it. You said it's the root.
Yes. So you know, yep, specifically the root bark. So the second layer of skin on the roots. And yeah, so here we serve that in its natural form, just ground up into a powder and serve that off of a spoon. Then we also make an organic total alkaloid extract, which has all the properties of the plant itself, but is just a concentrated form. So it can start getting, you have to have spoonful after spoonful of that root bark. It's not like a spoonful of honey, that's for sure. So it's a lot easier for people.
So the plant itself is native to Africa.
Yep.
Are you able to grow it in Costa Rica?
So there is, I know of a couple people growing some, but that's actually a project on the list for this year. And I have a really good friend that has some land in southern Costa Rica that is very, very similar to Gabon. And so that should be going this year. Where we're at in northern Pacific Northwest of Costa Rica, it gets a little too dry here during the dry months. You know, we have a good 4.5-5 months of a dry season here, so it needs to be really, really wet. But there is a lot more people, as Iboga grows and more people realize that just what a powerful tool it is, there is more demand. So I know more people in Gabon, including our teacher, have some plantations growing with the medicine.
Oh, okay. You end up having to probably ship it in then, I imagine.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm really curious about how you ended up finding your way to Iboga and then how that translated into you becoming a practitioner of Iboga for others.
Sure. So I have a really good friend that's really into plant medicine. And so when I was struggling with my opiate addiction, you know, that was over about 10 years time, a lot of ups and downs where, you know, it started with pills after breaking my wrist and enjoying the feeling of being able to just dull everything out, my emotions and what was going on in my life, and, you know, learn to enjoy that. And you know, once those ran out, started seeking them on the street. Like a majority of people that end up on heroin, you know, don't go straight there. They go through the pills, and those stop working, and then you keep looking for stronger and stronger stuff. And so I had different ups and downs where I was able to have a job and was even an entrepreneur during the time. And there was other times I was living in my van and just sleeping on the property where I worked, and would wake up and give myself a water spigot, you know, rinse out and be the first one at work each morning. And so, you know, eventually I knew it was time to quit, and I had quit many times before, but, you know, that may last anywhere from a month to 4 or 5 months, never longer than that. So I asked this friend at the time if he knew of anything that would help. I just knew he knew a lot about herbs and Chinese medicine, and, you know, he was into ayahuasca back then, and he said iboga. And so when I heard that word iboga, I definitely got a vibration to my soul where I knew there was something there for me. And he actually had some, and so he sent it to me. And I was in Nicaragua at the time. I had been living there for maybe 6-8 months or so, and my now wife, we were living together. We were out in the country by her family in just a small, very typical Nicaraguan village, renting her cousin's house. Yeah, funny story, when we first moved out there, I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. You know, I wanted to get out of kind of the touristy area where we were staying before, and show up out there and there's no bathroom. There's only one one running water spot. And so I didn't realize that once we had committed to moving there. But as we paid some rent, she started fixing it up and we got a bathroom. But anyway, so I had the medicine there. And wasn't really, you know, I'm fluent in Spanish now, but I wasn't so much at the time, and used to have a little handheld translator to get my way through things. So I explained to my girlfriend, now wife at the time, kind of what was going on, and, you know, they don't understand opiate problems so much in Latin America unless it's in a city. And I started taking the medicine and got a couple spoonfuls down and knew I wasn't going to be able to get any more that way, so went to the store and got some vitamins and cleared those out and capped up the capsules. And so my friend had sent me 50 grams of root bark and was telling me to down it all. And now looking back, that would have been quite a dose. So I ended up getting through about half of it and felt it coming on, and went to the bed and was pretty much in the bed for 3 nights straight. So didn't sleep for 3 nights. And it's usually for addicts, when the medicine's working through them, it's not like somebody who's clean. It's going in and really clearing out the opiates in your system. So it's not as of a spiritual experience.
So were you actively using at the time you took the iboga?
Yeah, until, you know, I think I had my last, at that time I was taking some different pills. So I'd gone through big up and down from heroin to stronger pills, and got myself down to some Vicodin,
okay,
or Percocet at the time. And so took the last dose that morning, and then, you know, maybe around 7 p.m. that night when the withdrawal started setting in is when I started taking it.
So is the iboga supposed to help with the withdrawal symptoms in addition to helping you change your perspective?
Absolutely, yes. So iboga is the only thing on earth that we're aware of that will actually really, you know, get rid of 80, 90, even 95% of any physical withdrawal symptoms. So, you know, normally when people, they're doing it cold turkey or with prescription medication, they're still there, you know, squirming in bed, kicking their legs, sweating through it. So it really eliminates a lot a lot of that. Like, it's night and day. And so yeah, even though it was a more comfortable withdrawal than cold turkey, of course, it was still a long one, and you're still there in bed, and wasn't super visual or anything. Like I was mentioning, you know, when people are using it to break an addiction, the medicine is really concentrating on moving the opiates out, going into, you know, the receptors and scraping off the opiates and replacing them with the good things in Iboga. And yeah, so it was a pretty dark journey, but, you know, come 4 days later, you know, I finally was starting to get out and move around a bit. And, you know, that was, I was just so amazed that there was something like that, you know, especially being an addict. You wonder how you'd never heard of that before. And so I was clean, but that didn't, you know, that experience with Iboga really didn't dig in to who I was and how I got here. And it was just more concerned with getting me physically clean.
So that's the first focus of the experience, was to just get the opiates out of your system.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a very insightful, or it was, I mean, those 3 days you had dosed yourself. I'm curious, did you continue the dosages throughout those 3 days, or did you just take a huge dose up front and then it just played out over 3 days?
Yeah, took a big dose at once. And then, yeah, it lasted, yeah, those 3 days.
You said you didn't even take the dose that your friend had suggested?
No, yeah, I took about half of that. So I had somewhere between 25, maybe 30 grams of the root bark out of 50.
Is that a typical dose for somebody coming to your center?
You know, everybody is different with how they respond to the medicine and their tolerance to it. So that would probably be quite a bit for somebody coming here. You know, I'm sure there's definitely been people that have gotten a dose like that, but, you know, probably not quite that much. You know, typically if people are clean, they don't need as much of the medicine to go deep into their experience and, you know, get what they came to do.
Do you have a requirement that people coming to your center in Costa Rica, that they be clean for a certain amount of time, or can they come and they're still using?
About 4 years ago, we stopped doing detox work. It just got too hairy. You know, we had a doctor at the time, which was great, but as the synthetic opiates came out, more Suboxone, that stuff's just a lot harder to get out of an addict system than, say, something like heroin or Percocet or morphine, especially, you know, the maintenance drugs for addicts like methadone. Suboxone.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the hardest ones to get out of the system. So, yeah, we never had anybody die at Iboga Wellness. Definitely had to take some people to get IVs and you know, check up. But it just, we could just see the difference whenever fentanyl and things like that started coming into play. And we just didn't feel comfortable. We were still a shamanic center, so we just started recommending people to go to an Ibogaine clinic or kick cold turkey or get clean however they can, and be at least 2 weeks clean, and then they're free to come here. So we do get quite a people that have done a traditional rehab or just came from an Ibogaine clinic, and then they come here and you know, dig more into the whys and what's happening in their life. And that works really well. You know, however they get clean, if they're clean coming in, then the medicine can really go and do the psycho-spiritual work for them.
So the Ibogaine clinics, is that specifically what you were doing for yourself? It's strictly using Iboga to detox when you're actively using?
Yeah, that's mainly what they're set up for. You know, there's some that do a version of a psycho-spiritual experience with, you know, lower doses. But yeah, for the majority, it's, you know, it's a very clinical procedure. You go in, you're hooked up to, you know, a heart monitor, and you have an IV in you, and they give you the medicine, and it's, yeah, it's really a medical procedure. Whereas here, it's you know, it's more shamanic, and we do have a doctor check people, or people have to get an EKG before coming in. But other than that, you know, it's more of a ceremonial setting.
Gotcha. All right. So looking back on your 3-day experience, your very initial experience, are you glad you went through it in that way? Or do you wish that you would have gone to a clinic or had some supervision or?
Yeah. You know, whenever I first heard of the medicine, I didn't even realize there was spots to go to do this, like an Ibogaine clinic. But looking back, yeah, if I would have been at a spot like our teacher's place that used to be called Iboga House, and they did do detox work for many years there, I definitely would have preferred to been in a spot like that. But, you know, I was at when you get to that point, you're just willing to do anything to get it done with. And so there is people that you definitely don't recommend doing it at home. You know, things can get hairy, especially if somebody is on some of the synthetic opiates or Suboxone, methadone. So yeah, definitely recommend somebody is in that setting.
You were not on any synthetics at the time, so it wasn't as harrowing, but it sounds like it was a challenging experience in some ways. Do you feel comfortable talking a little bit about what the actual experience was like?
You know, it was really, really dark. What I remember from it is a lot of like blackness and sludge being cleared away for myself. So, you know, I remember having some visions of myself and what the medicine was doing, and it was just like scraping tar out of my body and moving it out.
So you could actually perceive that going on as it was happening.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it emotionally trying? Did you go into places of great fear, like, am I dying, that kind of thing?
No, definitely didn't have that happen. That's one unique thing about Iboga compared to some of the other medicines, like ayahuasca. People can, you know, you can definitely get lost in the experience and, you know, kind of lose touch of who you are and what's happening around you. Whereas Iboga, you're definitely always very present, you know what's going on. And so even though I was having those visions of the medicine cleaning me, like, I was very aware of what was going on with myself. And a unique thing about Iboga is you don't really ever see people scared with this medicine.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Was your girlfriend, your now wife,
uh-huh,
was she scared when she was watching you go through this? Or
No. No, it was pretty chill, you know. I probably looked pretty relaxed, just laying there for the most part.
So it's just a very internal process.
Yeah,
it wasn't like you were running to the bathroom every 5 minutes or
no,
like
no.
You hear about with ayahuasca, the purging experience.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, and same thing here. You know, we go through our ceremony and different rituals and things, but once people lay down on their mattress, doesn't look like a whole lot's happening, but it is. People are very still there. Yep.
On the inside. Yeah. So, okay. Going back to your 3-day experience, you come out of the Iboga experience and you no longer crave opiates.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. It came out of the experience, and that's what really boggled me. You know, anytime I had kicked before, it wasn't too long after where here it comes, you know, and any addict will tell you how persistent that can be, where it just can really overtake your whole mind and being until you go do it again. And so, yeah, that was very impressive with the medicine, not having those cravings. So I didn't have cravings, but all of a sudden, you know, especially with opiate addicts, it's almost like their emotional growth is stunted for many years. And so I had been numbing these emotions for the last 10 years.
So you were addicted for 10 years. That was the the period of time you were using?
Yep, on and off, but more on for sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think I knew how long you had actually been using. I thought you said 10 years since you had been using.
Yeah, no, for 10 years. So from my early 20s to early 30s.
Gotcha. That's a long time, huh? To be struggling with an addiction like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, and I'm just glad it didn't follow me around for all my life, because it certainly does for a lot of people.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
You know, I went through that experience really raw. All of a sudden started feeling emotions again. And you know, so that's a whole new process.
Meaning the numbness had worn off. And now all the shit that you had been pushing down with the drugs, that was all erupting to the surface.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not really, okay. Not feeling good about myself and who I was. And, you know, luckily I never had to steal or anything like that to support my habit, but still put my parents through a lot. And so, yeah, just not being real happy with myself. And so that lasted about a year and a half. And then that same friend that had sent me the Iboga originally went to Iboga House, where our teacher used to have his center. And so he was going to show my teacher how to make total alkaloid extract. So he was telling him, you know, if you're going to work with addicts, it's very difficult to get spoonful after spoonful of this root bark down because their stomachs are already in bad shape. And so total alkaloid extract is essentially all the same properties of the Iboga plant, but just in a concentrated form. It's a very just simple process with vinegar. And so he was going to show him that, and he knew I was in Nicaragua. My teacher was in Costa Rica, so I went down and helped them with that process because they were making a very large batch of it. Like, you know, had to have been at least 9-10 kilos of the medicine that we were making. And so I got to know our teacher from there, and he knew I had had Iboga, and I think he was pretty impressed that I went through the experience at home. And I was doing internet marketing at the time, and he was just getting rolling with his center. And so I offered to help market him. And, you know, at first we kind of traded where I would do some ceremonies there. And my wife actually had her first experience there. And within 8 months or so, his center just really blew up. Where there was just a lot of people coming down, getting a lot of very deep healing. And so at that point, I heard there was people training to work with the medicine. So I didn't even know that that was an option or available. And when I heard that, like I'd mentioned with my first Iboga experience, I knew I wanted to be involved with this something so powerful in some way. And so I started coming down several times per year and spending time with him and just being around ceremony. And you know, you start off very simple. So him just showing me the simplest aspects, like how to put a candle down properly, how to make the fire for the ceremony, and just started growing from there over about 4 or 5 years' time. Spent a lot of time down there with him. And you know, one thing that never ceases to impress is just how consistent this medicine is. So we saw just very, very deep healings for people dealing with all sorts of things, you know, not just addicts, but people with trauma from childhood or sexual trauma, a lot of veterans that had been to war, deep depression, very, very strong people with really strong anxiety where they couldn't even sit with themselves for a couple minutes, and just saw the healing of this medicine over and over again with hundreds of people. And at the time I had my own business, and actually so I was doing that, so I wasn't 100% in yet, but I knew I did want to be one day. And so went on like that for several years, and then got a very clear call about probably close to 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago now, to like, this is the time to dedicate myself to the medicine. And that's when I contacted Gary, who's the founder of Iboga Wellness. And we knew each other from the Iboga House, and then came down full time to continue working with the medicine with him. Yeah, sometimes, you know, when we first started, we thought maybe it was our teacher that was doing all the healing, but it's really the medicine. Like, he's a very powerful healer, but you do need the medicine. Just the properties of the medicine are there for healing, whatever, you know, as long as people are open to making some changes, doing a bit of work afterwards, this medicine just works. It knows each of us on such a a deep, intimate level where it just shows us the truth on things. It allows us to forgive ourselves. You know, it makes us very, very present. That's a really strong property of the medicine is, you know, it makes you present. And, you know, when we're present, we can connect inside a lot easier and not react to everything that's happening around us and be very picky about what we take in. So yeah, it's been a really wonderful 4.5 years here at Iboga Wellness. And a couple years ago, we would have some sessions with one people, three persons, zero people. And so just over the last couple years, the medicine has really grown. A lot of that has to do with the popularity of ayahuasca and people looking into different, you know, master plant teachers. And so it's Iboga is definitely, I don't see it slowing down. Word is just getting out that it's not just for opiate addicts. It's really here for anybody that's called, that anybody that wants to work on something that they haven't been able to let go of other ways. Yeah, so it's really coming out strongly now. More people going to Africa to be initiated with our teacher, more people wanting to work with the medicine. And so, yeah, it seems like Iboga's time has come.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a super powerful healing experience. I'm wondering what role, since the plant medicine is the primary teacher and healer, what role do you or Gary play in a ceremony?
Yes, so within our tradition, there is specific things that need to happen to create a sacred space for people to feel comfortable to go in and comfortable to open up and go deep inside themselves. So we're essentially creating the space where, like, assistance to Iboga. And so these are things that were taught to us by our teacher, creating the proper space. You know, obviously a lot of counseling happens here, one-on-one, group, and one thing we do here we ask people to come in with questions they might have about their life or really anything. But obviously if it has to do with their life, you know, those are the things that can be most applicable. So people come in with questions, and then during one of their two experiences here, we do a guided journey. So that's something that was taught to us by our teacher and is a Bwiti technique in order to go deep inside of yourself and connect with your own soul or your higher self and get direct answers to whatever questions you have about yourself. You know, why am I this way? You know, how can I let go of this? You know, what brings me joy? And so we guide them through this process to go in deep and get those questions answered. And yeah, then there's a lot of different ceremonial aspects with cleansing the area. We have a special torch from a tree called Okume that we clear the area with, just different tools. So it's not like going to Africa per se, but there's definitely a happy medium of shamanic elements to create a very healing container, and also so people can relax and get the work they need done. Because when you go to Africa, you know, the ceremonies can go 16 hours and it's intense. It's not like you're laying there and allowing the medicine to work on you. It's a very different experience. So it's you know, most people aren't ready for that. They'd like to know if Iboga's for them first and how it can help them, and then they feel called, then we do organized trips to go to Africa each year. And so it's, yeah, it's just amazing how powerful it is and consistent for all types of things that us humans deal with.
Well, that's amazing. It sounds really very shamanic, which is a cool thing. Well, Levi, you know, I think that this has been a really amazing conversation, because I had no idea, and I think a lot of people have no idea, that this is out there. I'm hoping that Iboga and ayahuasca and other psychedelics for therapeutic reasons will be permitted here in the United States at some point in the future. I know that there are some people who are trying to make that happen, but boy, that would be great, because the benefits are obvious.
Yeah, thank you for being a part of that, because with what you're doing, that's your powerful voice for getting that out here and opening people being able to hear about these medicines. So absolutely, thank you for spreading the word of Iboga.
Well, I'm super psyched that you came on the show. I know we had some technical difficulties, but got through it. Good job.
We did. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for sticking with me.
Yeah, no, this has been great. And what's the best way for people to get a hold of you or the Wellness Center down in Costa Rica?
Yeah, great. Thank you. So ibogawellness.com is our site, and Iboga is spelled I-B-O-G-A, wellness.com. And, you know, there's a lot of information on the site and what happens here each day, what goes on. Or they can email me at info@ibogawellness.com. Or there's also a contact form on the site that has our schedule on there. And, yeah, so anybody can get in touch, you know, definitely no obligation if you just want to learn more about the medicine. Yeah, it's a powerful experience, and so people know we just don't, you just don't come here and have this experience and then we say goodbye and good luck. You know, we have bi-monthly integration calls for any clients that have been here, which is powerful, just to reconnect with us.
Do follow up. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. We really encourage people. We have some great coaches that we work with. And so this is really, you know, just a powerful, fresh step for people, whatever they're looking for in life. And so once you come out of here, things are going to be different. You're not going to be able to treat yourself the way you used to or make decisions in the same way if you were making decisions that are hurting you. And so, yeah, definitely want to support people through that process. And what we see is people in 6 months, a year's time, I mean, have just totally changed their life. It's so amazing to see. And so, yeah, we really honor and respect anybody that wants to come work with this medicine. So we just want to share it with people. It's done so much for our lives. And yeah, we just want, a lot of people need healing out there.
Yes, indeed.
That's what we're here for.
All right. I'll include the links to the site and your email address in the show notes. And I just want to thank you very much, Levi, for coming on the show and for not just sharing information about Iboga, but sharing information about your own journey to Iboga. It's really powerful. And I think it's important to know that you're not just, I was just going to make a hair club for men joke. You're not just an Iboga spokesperson, but you're an Iboga user.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for laughing. That wasn't very good.
I like it. Oh, I liked it. I liked it.
So intriguing. If I were to try a psychedelic, I'm thinking Iboga would be the one I would try. If you would like more information about the Iboga Wellness Center and its psycho-spiritual program, please visit ibogawellness.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Lucid Cafe by giving it a positive review or helping to spread the word by letting others know about the show. Or you can become a sponsor with a one-time or monthly donation by following the link in the show notes or on the podcast page of my website. Until next time, adios, amigos.